Good morning, Church of Glen Shaw. How are you today? I have them. In case you missed last week, I had trouble reading because I didn't have my glasses. In our scripture today, Mark documents the beginning of Christ's mission on earth, his spreading of the good news. And one of the first things he does is select four fishermen to join him in the spreading of the good news. This scripture again reminds us that God doesn't pick the best person to do the job. He picks the person he wants. He picked Moses, who was a killer. He murdered a man. He picked David, and we know David's insurrection, that word. Really, and right up to this day, he picks me to read the scripture. Thank goodness for glasses. Please listen to Mark 1, 14 through 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father in the boat with the hired men and followed him, even with glasses. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
I love it. Not the only one that stumbles over words now and again, and then everybody gives help. I love it. Call to follow. You know, thinking about this, you have to wonder why Jesus called fishermen. Why did he call four liars to begin with to be his disciples? An old timer sat on the riverbank, obviously waiting a nibble through the fishing season, had not officially begun. A uniformed officer stood behind him quietly for several minutes watching him, and he said, "You're the game warden," the old timer inquired. He said, "Yep, sure am." Unruffled, the old fisherman began to move the fishing pole from side to side. Finally, he lifted the line out of the water, pointing to the minnow wiggling on the end of the line. He said, "Just teaching him how to swim." Mark Twain once spent a pleasant 3 weeks in the Maine woods, but now he was on his way back home. He was making himself comfortable on the train back to New York. A sour-faced New Englander sat next to him, and the two struck up a conversation. "Been to the woods, have you?" asked the stranger. "I've been indeed," said Twain. "And let me tell you something. It may be closed season for fishing up there in Maine, but I have a couple hundred pounds of the finest rock bass that you've ever seen iced down in the baggage car. By the way, sir, who are you?" "Well, to tell you the truth, I'm the state game warden." "Who are you?" Mark Twain said, "Pleased to meet you, sir. Who am I? I'm only the biggest liar in the United States of America." Two ardent fishermen met on a vacation, began swapping stories about different places that they had gone fishing, the kind of tackle they used, the best bait, and finally about some of the fish that they had caught. And every fish that you've ever caught's a lot bigger than it really is. One of them told a vicious battle he once had with a 300-pound salmon. The other man listened attentively to this story. He frankly admitted he had never caught a fish quite that big, especially a salmon. However, he told him about the time he hooked a lantern from the depths of a lake. He said the lantern carried a tag proving that it was lost back in 1912. But the strangest thing of all, he said, was the fact that the lantern was waterproof and that the candle was still lit. For a long time, the first man who said he caught the 300-pound fish said, he thought about this and took a long time and a deep breath. He said, "I tell you what I'll do. I'll take 200 pounds off of my fish if you'll put out the light in the lantern." Well, that was a pretty good deal. Both lying. Fish stories, we're enamored by them. And fishermen love to exaggerate. At least we say that they do. You gotta love them. Well, what brings this to mind this morning are the two lectionary passages, and I chose this one, and the other one was from Jonah. The gospel lesson, Jesus calls four fishermen, who says that they will make into fishermen of men, or to modernize it, fishermen of people, men and women. The Old Testament text is the mother of all fish stories, or the Super Bowl champion of fish stories. Now I'd like to share a few thoughts about the text and then move on to consider the fishers of people and phrase what it might mean to us today. Jesus called average folk to follow him. First, the players Simon, Andrew, James, and John, names which the world became familiar with over two millennia of Christian history. But in their own day, they were just average common folk, average everyday people. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, "God must love the common people because he made so many of them." And the selection of these first disciples is just one more affirmation that God uses the everyday people, you and me, to get the work of the gospel done. A bit scary for us, perhaps, because it's a big responsibility to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where are these men when Jesus called them? Were they at the church? Were they in the synagogue? Were they at some spiritual retreat? No. They were at work. They were catching fish, providing for their family, mending their nets, going about their daily normal routine. And Jesus is not limited to church. He can and often does meet us in the midst of our everyday lives. So what did Jesus call them to do? He said, "Follow me." He didn't say, "Come worship me, bow down before me." He said, "Follow me. Hang with me. Let's hang out." No doubt these men had encountered this fascinating creature before. No doubt they had stood in the crowd and listened to him. No doubt they had stayed to talk long after the rest of the crowd had drifted away. No doubt they had already felt the magic of his presence. I don't think he just walked by, saw them, had no idea who they were. I think he already knew them, had spotted them out, and had spoken to them before. Perhaps there's a lesson there in how folks become disciples of Jesus Christ. Just being around Jesus, picking up on the things that Jesus thinks are important, caring about what Jesus cares about, and getting upset maybe at times about what Jesus would get upset about, and learning what are the priorities of Jesus Christ. Looking through the scriptures, what did he do? The more time we spend with Jesus in prayer and Bible study and fellowship and attending the worship service with the body of Christ, the better disciples we become. And I don't think you can neglect and go out on your own and not worship with the body of Christ. So what did Jesus do? Jesus had a task for them, for each of them. "I will make you fishers of people." So you already have some skills, now put them to work in the kingdom of God. And this is the primary task of Christian disciples, to cast the nets, bait the hooks, reach outside of the boat. And I wish I could say that the church through the centuries has taken this task seriously. But we know better. For what it's worth, the story of Jonah offers some perverse comfort in the realization that reluctant witnesses is nothing new to the church. Perhaps we would do better if we analyze the problem than find some way to do a better job of what we're called to do within the church of Jesus Christ. You cannot catch any fish if there are none to be caught. Just a fact. If there's no fish, you can't catch a fish. Makes sense. And that is the excuse that many folks make. Well, I don't know anyone who doesn't go to church. I don't know anyone that's not a Christian. I don't know anyone that's not already caught. Well, let me give you a few facts. Actually, about half the folks that you know are effectively unchurched. About half. They may have their name on a church roll somewhere, but they've not been to church for at least 6 months for anything other than a wedding, a funeral, or a Christmas, or an Easter service. I guess this analogy might be that these are fish who have jumped out of the boat and need to be caught again. The good news is that there are plenty out there, and no need to worry that there are not enough fish in the sea. Dropping by church every once in a while to check in is not good enough. It helps to know when the fish are biting. During warmer months, some TV weathercasters even give the best times of the day for anglers to be out of the water, out on the water fishing. How about the fish that Jesus sends us after? And you say, well, he's never sent me after a fish. Yes, he has. You just have not listened, or you've turned away from that responsibility. We've all done it. I've even done it. One of the best opportunities is at the moment of transition in someone's life. When they're sick, when they are facing an illness in their life, whether a major illness or not, a birth in their family, that new baby is born. When there's a death, a good time, I don't mean overwhelming them, but relating to them. Or when they purchase a new home, or maybe when they've lost a home in this crisis that the United States and the world has been in. Maybe when they get a new job, or they've lost a job that they had, or a broken relationship. Whatever it might be, they can be more open to the gospel and being invited to church. But we have to be sensitive to the changes in people's lives that might make them hungry for the good news of Jesus Christ, because that's what the gospel is, the good news of salvation and peace and eternal life. And I think sometimes we forget that, and that people need it whether they realize that they need it or not. We are the ambassadors to take this to them, to let them know that they need it. I don't know that I need certain inoculations and shots till my doctor informs me that I need them. That's his responsibility to inform me. I've learned sometimes I have to inform him, which is not the way it should be, but hungry for the word. Speaking of hunger, that brings another thing, bait. You must have something to attract the fish. It might be a flashy lure, a mouth-watering, scrumptious worm. But to expect the fish just to jump in the boat one after another, after another, after another, is impractical to believe. Successful fishers of people will offer something to attract the people. For example, an invitation to come to church with me sometimes rarely works. Oh, why don't you come down to Glenshaw Valley with me sometimes? We've got a nice little church. They might come, probably not. It's too much of an open invitation. Most people not respond to that kind of invitation. It's too easy to say sure to that and never give it another thought. Instead, invite the friend to something particular, a special event that we're having. Perfect time, the deacon's pig roast, Chinese auction. What better time to invite somebody to church that day? We're having something special like that and fun like that. Or a Christmas party dinner. Or Mother's Day, or Easter, or Christmas Eve service. People are more receptive. Or when we're having a potluck dinner, people love to eat. And you invite someone specific and pin them down and say, I'll come pick you up. What time? Can you be ready? Recently, the Alban Institute published a report called Why Some Churches Don't Grow. It was a Lutheran report, but it touches all mainline churches. It says how easy it is for us to forget what draws people to congregations in the first place, namely their hunger for an authentic encounter with God, one which transforms their lives. And that's what we're all looking for, a change in our lives, something that makes our lives better and happier and more fulfilling. That's what we all need, each and every one of us. The congregations in our study today were much more intent on maintaining their corporate life than they were on offering transformative experiences for their visitors or long-term members. A basic assumption appeared to be if we serve our members well, outsiders will see that and just want to become members. Missing completely was any desire to find out about the spiritual needs of outsiders and to see if their congregation had resources to meet these needs. Also missing was any sort of strategy for reaching the unchurched in their area. Somebody needs to check the bait box again. I really think we do here at Glenshaw Valley. We need to look into this. By the way, there's an ancillary bit of advice for those who are you reluctant people fishers who are afraid that you might use the wrong bait. In other words, that you might say the wrong thing or offend somebody. Don't worry about it. Read the story of Jonah. Couldn't have been a worse witness or evangelist. But the whole nation turned to God and repented of their sins. My point is that God can and does use the strangest witnesses for Him to get things done. Because it's not really about you, it is about the power of the Holy Spirit. So you have to put yourself out of the way. Stop worrying about you, caring more about that person. Let go of yourself, bait the hook, cast a net, and reach out. And let the chips fall where they may. And one final piece of advice, you got to be patient about it. No one can be fishing successful at first at fishing. I used to fish when I was younger. I don't do it anymore. But I remember from my youth, I would sit there for hours. I liked the cane pole fish off the banks. And I didn't go and just pop the lure, you know, the worm in there, and oh boy, that's a bass, you know, and just start popping them out. Sometimes you'd stay an hour, 2 hours, you'd move over here. It took time sometimes. Sometimes it didn't happen that day. It's the same in fishing for people. You have to keep on casting, keep on extending the invitation, sometimes adjusting the bait. Give your efforts time to make an impact, then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. I've told you all this before, but my grandmother, Pate, invited me to church for years and years and years and years. And I said, no, 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 no. Finally, I said yes one day to get her off my back. I became a Christian that day. You don't give up. Follow me and I will make you fishers of people, says Jesus. And Paul Harvey has noted, too many Christians are no longer fishers of people, but keepers of the aquarium. Think about that one. Max Lucado had a wonderful story in one of his books about a boy who went fishing with his dad and his best friend. Torrential rains came down. They were locked in this little cabin. And they couldn't fish all week, couldn't do anything, no TV. They were just out there. And they were bored. And they started fussing and fighting with one another, turned on one another, nerves got on one another. And his moral of the story was that those who are called to fish and don't start fighting. I think that's what happens to a lot of churches. They turn inward instead of outward and forget about reaching the lost. And it's easy to turn in and start fighting about little things. The color of the carpet. You know, what color should it be? Should we have long drapes or short drapes? What color should the tile be? You know, should we have these kind of flowers or flowers and vases? You know, we get lost in those kind of things sometimes. Things that are nice, but that's not the most important thing. That's not the mission of the church. Jesus says, follow me, tag along, hang with me. A straightforward invitation can echo that you care about somebody, you care about the church, and you care about them. You know, for all the allure of the fancy church building, for all the allure of the greatest preacher in the world, for all the allure of the friendliest congregation in the world, it is still the one-on-one invitation that has the most impact of getting someone into the church. 70%. 70% by invitation. Statistics are overwhelming. So I ask you, are you ready to launch out? Are you ready to go fishing? Are you ready to cast your lure and bait the hook and get it done? Are you? I realize some of you say, I can't do it. Flip that. Say, I can do it. I care about somebody else enough to invite them. Simple invitation. Nothing heavy. You're going to hell. You need to come to church. No, that's not going to get them in. Come to church with us. We're having this event. Just come on down. I'll pick you up. Just think about it this way. If you invited somebody over to dinner and says, come to my house for dinner sometimes. Are they coming? But if you say, come to my house Friday night, 6 o'clock, and then wait for the answer, then you know. It's a difference. You can't leave it open-ended. And be patient about it. God does not work according to your Timex or your Rolex. He works according to His time. One day long ago, Jesus said to some friends, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. They dropped what they were doing and came along immediately, because I think they had contact with Jesus before. Now Jesus says to us today, in this church and churches all around, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women and boys and girls. And what should our response be? How about, okay, Lord, let's do it. Let's go fishing. Let's touch people's lives. Let's transform their lives. Let's grow our church. Let's help people. May God bless you. Amen.